This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 378, recorded Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and that lady in the red sweater over there in New Ulm, that's Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Martin, I'm here in New Ulm, but you seem like you're a little bit further away than normal.
A little further south. I'm in El Paso, Texas,
awesome.
So I can look out the window here and see the sun.
What
and
a concept.
The mountains. And,
are you seeing all that snow that's coming down right now?
No, I don't see any snow out there.
Oh,
in fact,
man.
It was kind of nice driving over to Multilanguage Publications offices here where I'm helping them out this week and feeling the warmth of the sun on my cheek, which I'm not accustomed to this time of year. And you see the sun once in a while in Wisconsin, but you don't feel the sun very often, so it's a nice change. So this is one of my favorite spots to come. The people down here are just really a treat to work with, and the warm weather doesn't hurt either. So,
well, please greet them from Wells Tech Collective. We are happy that you're joining us and taking away a little of their time, I guess, but we're glad to have you on air this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited about the show today because we get to do a little bit of a preview. We launched the registration page for our Wells Tech Conference. Wells Tech Conference 2015, July 9th through 11th, coming up this summer. And we're just going to do a quick preview of some of the things that those attendees who are willing to join us will get to enjoy. So that's cool, and I'm really excited about it, first and foremost.
Yeah, I'm super excited too, Martin, and I'm here on the registration page. If you head over to wells.net/wellstechconf, there's a link right up at the top to get you to the registration page. And here's one of the reasons I'm most excited, because when you click on the breakout session master schedule, a whole rainbow of activities comes up on your screen. We've got all kinds of tracks organized. We've got 50 sessions on Friday, 50 more sessions on Saturday. Something for everyone in terms of doing gospel ministry using technology. And I think people get real excited when they come here and check out the schedule we have planned.
Yeah, so maybe let's take one big step back and talk about what the conference is for. We haven't done one of these. Actually, we've never really done one like this since I've been in my position, so 10 years. There had been one previous to that, but not in my tenure. So really the impetus for this was requests from the field, people saying, well, why don't we get like-minded individuals, those interested in technology and ministry, together and put together some sessions, some good keynotes, just some networking opportunities so that we can talk about how technology can be used for the good of the gospel. And that's kind of what we did. And maybe to highlight that, our two keynotes especially are, I think, a great way to kick that off. We've got Dave Tess from Wisconsin Lutheran College talking about really what the internet is doing to us as individuals, to us as Christians, and to our brains in general, and how it affects teachers and how they teach, and maybe it affects how we interact with the technologies around us. And we did an interview with Dave just the other day, and we will play that at this point. But Sally, what were your impressions of that first keynote, especially the topic that Dave's going to be talking about?
Well, I think we are living in a different world than perhaps folks were just a few short years ago, and that does affect everything we do, and our number one responsibility from God is to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if everybody's thinking differently and seeing things differently and interacting differently because of technology and the changes the internet is making to our lives, then we definitely want to keep that in mind as we reach out with the gospel. And I think that's probably what Dave's focus will be in his keynote, and will get us to look at how that might be affecting our communication, our outreach efforts.
Yeah, and we're going to hear it in the interview, but what struck me is that this is a scary place, because if in the book, The Shallows, and what, you know, kind of Dave's thoughts were too, is if we keep going on this track, we get maybe closer to our technology, but further away from each other. Even though maybe we're more engaged and we have more social networks and more social friends through these social networks, we've created a tension that God did not intend. And that's why I think this keynote is really a good one to have at this particular conference, because it really highlights what we need to be looking for and why it's important to care about this kind of stuff. So why don't we play this interview, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit more. Well, it seems like only yesterday we had this gentleman on, Dave Tess, Director of Digital Education at Wisconsin Lutheran College. But we wanted to have you back on, Dave, to talk about your keynote for the Wells Tech Conference, which we're really excited that you said yes to, and I'm sure the people that are going to be attending are going to really enjoy it. Welcome back to the show, Dave. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
Good. Maybe for those who didn't see that show, I don't know when it was probably longer ago than I thought, but introduce yourself, a couple of your responsibilities at Wisconsin Lutheran College, you know, the little known facts about Dave Tass, maybe.
I'll do my best. Okay. Director of Digital Education, been at WLC about 2.5 years. The main responsibilities continue to be developing online courses, working with both our adjunct instructors in our adult and graduate studies, and then some of our undergrad professors are also slowly starting to embrace more online technologies, course management stuff. So managing that, helping with that as much as they need.
Awesome. And we had you on before. It was right when we were in the middle of reading The Shallows, and you gave us some good insight into an interesting book that we spent some time on the Wells Tech podcast. And now you're going to come and speak to our conference. The title of your keynote presentation is Technology, Relationships, and Faith. So three interesting topics. I'm wondering maybe if you could give us a little bit of a preview and how those terms might be connected in this digital age we're living in.
Certainly. So that book still is probably one of my top five for it actually changed how I behave day to day. There aren't many books that do that, but that one did it for me. So as I read that and then read more articles and studies and things about just technology and the brains, to me it makes sense to bring it all back to those three: technology, relationships, faith. So a lot of tech talks include all the ways that, you know, kids and families can mess up online and how we need to protect them, and we should, but this talk is not down that road. It's more about how it affects our brain, and because tech is always changing, and because we generally always adapt to the tools we use, which, you know, is talked about in The Shallows, our brains are changing, and because tech is changing quickly, our brains tend to change quickly as well. And so part of what Nicholas Carr talks about is how do we slow down enough, and to me that's just a natural transition into relationships being such an important part of our life. And to me, sharing the gospel is very, very much about relationships, which can certainly happen via, you know, the digital medium, but with our brains changing so quickly, how do we slow down enough to cultivate relationships, work on our personal walk with God, and just kind of tying all that together?
So do you think it's more challenging than it ever has been to slow down and develop relationships and work on this faith this faith life that we all have as Christians?
I do. So I think tools have always changed us, but I feel like the internet in a very short amount of time has accelerated the pace of life so quickly, and I just see it in kids especially in their relationships. And right now I'm teaching an undergrad class, and we had this very discussion last week about how they feel just completely drawn to their phones all the time, nervous if it's not in their pocket, or, you know, if they worried about, you know, if someone emails them or texts them and they can't get back to them in 5 minutes, and all these kinds of things. So as I talk to kids, even just finding how this change in relationship dynamics, and I think it continues to bleed into other areas of our life. And so if we can't slow down one area of our life, I'm not sure how we slow down enough for important things like reading God's Word.
So it's not just technology, you know, as we probably formerly knew it as a, let's say, a computer, a word processor, something that increases our work efficiency. It's probably the connectedness that especially the internet has introduced into our lives, things like Facebook, Twitter, text messaging, those kinds of things. So regardless of, you know, the technological revolution that we have, it's really these social means and mechanisms that are connecting people probably faster and more furiously than ever before that are what, you know, maybe have all of us feeling a little bit connected to our technology and our phones and our social networks.
Yeah, and just even what, you know, that thing that fits in my pocket, what that can do is more than phones of 5 years ago or, you know, especially 10 years ago when they barely, you know, I don't remember was the iPhone like, oh,
I think it was 07 when it came out.
Oh, 07.
So, yep.
So not even 10 years old, and yet most of us can't even imagine a time without that. So, yeah, like you said, Martin, just that interconnectedness, you know, an inability to slow down. And you know, we even see people encouraged with things like, oh, there are Bible apps for your phone and stuff like that. The issue there, of course, is while I'm reading the Bible, I'm getting 20,000 notifications about all the other things that are on my phone, and or just even a devotion, or, you know, so it doesn't, one of the lines, something like this, that Carr said in Shallows was, you know, the internet, Facebook, all these things, they don't encourage non-use. It just, definitely, they pull us back all the time.
Right. It was interesting, one of the things I was reading last week was from the Google chairman, and his name escapes me right now, but he made some presentation to like a World Economics panel. I don't know if you guys heard this, but the big quote that got pulled out of what he said was, the internet will disappear. This was the chairman of Google, but what he was saying was, our lives are going to be so intertwined with it, and things are going to react to us, and we're going to be so connected that it's going to be invisible to us practically. And so, yes, we want to be able to do the right kinds of connections and not be so driven by our technology that we don't keep our focus on God's Word. And I think it's a very timely topic that you're going to be presenting, for sure.
Paul, when you talk about this and just listening to what Sally said, is there, what behavioral changes are you noticing in students other than, you know, kind of wanting to be, you know, opening up the phone and or on the computer and, you know, staying connected? Are there other behavioral side effects to this thing?
Yeah, they just, and again, we just talked about it last week, they admit their inability to focus, you know, just completely and willingly admit the fact that, you know, I gave them, if you would have printed it out, it was probably a 6-page article at the most. And most said they kind of, you know, scrolled down the page and sighed as they realized how long it was. and then they said, you know, I read a couple paragraphs, and then I checked the buck score, and then I read a couple more paragraphs, and then so they can feel it in different parts of their lives. And what I'm trying to do with the undergrads especially is ask them, Are we going to be okay with our students doing those kinds of things? If not, why? And let's just have those bigger discussions of what are we cultivating in kids. And I know in schools we hear a lot, the big word push in this area is mindfulness. So that, you know, is looking like meditation or whatever in schools, but it's just this idea of slow down, think about something for a little bit, whether it's closing your eyes or not, or just, you know, focusing on your breathing and things. Like, I just wonder, I told my undergrads, I wonder if focus is going to be its own class, just like handwriting or whatever else is in younger grades in 5 years and 10 years, because they admit it. It's just an issue.
Yeah, it's hard. It really is hard to get over that, especially if we're resigned to the fact that we can only communicate in 140 characters or less, right? And that's not the, that's probably not the world we want to live in.
Agreed.
Well, Dave, you're going to do a few more things for us while you're there at Wells Tech Conference. I want to throw in a mention. One of your breakout sessions you're going to be leading is called Code On, and I'm wondering who exactly would benefit from a Code On session?
So it's definitely driven as more of a practical teachers who have been considering introducing coding to their kids, and they don't have to be a tech teacher at the school. They don't have to have them just for, you know, dedicated computer time. This is anyone who's heard about, you know, this big push to get kids coding. So my plan is, you know, just to show a lot of examples on a lot of platforms of what you can use to code, but then just talk bigger about the idea of the reason we want kids coding is to get them thinking like programmers. And you can do that even without a computer. A really great example I saw last week was this teacher who called himself like TeacherBot, and kids had to write specific instructions on how to build a sandwich or something like that. So this idea of we have to give computers very clear instructions on what we want them to do, getting kids to think about, you know, breaking giant problems down into smaller problems. So some of that talk, and but mostly, you know, what do I use on the iPad, on a Chromebook, on a laptop? Here are some different options.
Interesting. I think I have a lot to learn. That sounds like fun. And then finally, you and Jason Schmidt are going head-to-head in a tablet showdown. We're going to have Apple versus Android. Looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. What are you going to be championing? Which side are you on, and are you going to be the winner?
I think the second question has an obvious answer.
Good answer.
But, no, I... No, Jason. Well, anyway, so I love Google, but because I've taught iPad here so many times, I know a lot about iPad. So I'm gonna stick to the iOS side. I'm actually really looking forward to learning from Jason. I of the many things I do happen to know about Google, like Play for Education and tablets is probably one of my weaker areas. So I'm excited to see what ideas he has and how those work in the classroom, how they're managed in the classroom, things like that.
Excellent.
Dave, really appreciate you spending more time with us. We're getting our money's worth out of you. We've got you working three avenues in our conference, and we've got you here, and we're looking forward to all of them. For anybody that is interested in hearing Dave talk about these things more at length, the conference is July 9th through the 11th. Dave is doing the keynote on Friday morning. Go to wells.net/WellsTechConf to register. Registration is open and early bird pricing is available. So you will not want to miss that. And Dave, I'm really looking forward to having you here in Waukesha to share your experiences and knowledge. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, our thanks to Dave for taking the time. Once again, he's a two-time interviewee at this point, and we're really getting our money's worth out of Dave, because not only is he doing a keynote, but he's doing two sessions at the show, Sally.
Yeah, I'm really excited for some of his breakout sessions as well, Martin. He's got a lot of good information to share, and I think it'll be well received. Excited to hear it.
The other keynote that we're talking about is Steve Boettcher from Boettcher and Trinkline Media, They've done a lot of PBS specials, and they're the and Steve in particular is the brains behind or the production brains behind Wells Connection. Just a really talented guy that the Synod is lucky to have, and he's going to be talking about media and its influence in the world, Christian media especially. And I think we'll get a chance to touch on how media can make a difference at the congregational level, the ability to use media effectively to reach out, to reach in, to use the tools that God has given us, and tools that are even more accessible now than they ever were. It's so easy to put together these short snippets of video or even longer form video in a very effective and professional way. So that ought to be an excellent keynote to kick off everything on Thursday night, it would be.
Yeah, maybe a moment about the schedule. We are going to start Thursday evening, I think 6 p.m., and that'll be followed by a nice social mixer time. So chance to put names with faces that we've had all these connections with via the internet. Now we'll all be in one place and have a little bit of nice social time there on Thursday evening. And then as we move into Friday, we'll have Dave's keynote to kick off Friday morning, and then five different breakout sessions during the day on Friday. So, you know, bring your notebook, bring your OneNote or your Evernote or whatever it may be that you want to take notes in, because there'll be lots of great information shared during the day on Friday. And lots going on after the sessions are over. We're going to record our 400th podcast live from Wells Tech Conference 2015. So we'd love to have you in the audience as we're recording that podcast. That should be a fun time. And then that evening, we're going to have something called an Ignite session. Not quite sure exactly how that's going to shape up. Maybe you have a vision of that, Martin.
I hopefully do. And I've seen this at conferences that I've gone to. But basically, we ask individuals to volunteer, and they're prepared ahead of time to give just short, real quick sparks of ideas and information. And it just goes rapid fire. We limit the amount of time that they have. We limit the number of slides that they have. It's kind of an automated approach where they get so many seconds per slide, and it goes to the next slide, and then the next slide, and the next slide, and then they're done. So we get through a number of people and a number of ideas. So it's just a quick way to do some quick sharing of different ministry ideas, especially as they relate to technology. So that ought to be very fast-paced and fun. We'll do some giveaways. I think there's lots of opportunity for networking. That's one of the neat things about a conference like this. You're bringing together these people that really want to talk about their particular and maybe sometimes unique ministries, and idea sharing is great, and you make new friends, and this ought to be a great time. So I'm looking forward to that. On top of that, we're going to do something that no Wells conference has ever done, in my mind.
Before. That's kind of scary.
And that's a dedicated mobile app that will ride on top of the conference, where you can set your own schedule, you can get maps, you can network with other people, you can ask speakers questions that they could react to. Speakers can set out surveys. Basically, everything you need to know about the conference is going to be in the palm of your hand. You can even take notes, from session to session, and those can be carried with you. So that hasn't been quite set up yet. I'm working at that, but that is going to be really exciting, too, where you can download the app, and it's kind of a conference companion for you.
Excellent. Maybe we should finish up the schedule kind of focus and just mention Saturday there'll be five more of those great breakout sessions. I showed you a quick peek of that at the top of the show. We're going to start the day with a devotion and keynote by my friend Martin Spriggs, and so that should be a good way to kind of wrap up your thoughts around the conference and all the things you've experienced. So Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, one of the neat things we've done with this conference, and you see this at a lot of conferences too, we put together some tracks. So if you're kind of scratching your head as to where do I fit in, maybe just a quick rundown of the different tracks that we have to see if this show is or this conference is for you. We have a church track, and in that track it's kind of things related to church-centric ministry. So it could be things to do with video in the sanctuary, or those things that have to do with projection, We've also got something on Logos in that section,
mm-hmm.
reaching teens through multimedia, video-assisted counseling. You know, anything related to church ministry and technology kind of goes in that category.
Then we have a communications category where we're going to focus on things related to social media, maybe email outreach, branding strategies, lots of really interesting topics there under communication. And follow that up with office and productivity, kind of
one of my favorite categories, yeah.
Right, a mashup of different office softwares.
Church management software, yeah. Google Forms, one of your favorites. Google Calendar,
right.
another one of your favorites. Evernote, yeah. Those are all in that office and productivity category.
So this would be a perfect opportunity for you to bring along, you know, your office staff and let them be a part of the conference as well. There's plenty there for them and the technology they use day-to-day in the church and school office.
Yeah. And we've got one for outreach, of course, and this ought to be very interesting because we've got some people coming in that have not just general outreach experience, but outreach from lots of different perspectives, including world mission outreach and Latin American outreach, cross-cultural outreach, distance outreach. So lots of things related to different ways to reach out with the gospel through technology.
We've got a jam-packed school track where we're going to learn all about distance learning again, blogging, Google Classroom
apps.
Is covered there, mm-hmm. Google Apps for sure. And then there's even WELSA-focused sessions and Christlight-focused sessions. So lots of ideas for you to use in the classroom.
Those of you that are minding your congregation or school's network, we've got a whole section on system administration. So talk about file system management, security, privacy, updating computers, etc. So building a stress-free network is one of the ones that we just added. So lots of stuff for the system administrator.
Mm-hmm. We have a category or a track called tools where we put in just very software-specific applications or presentations related to podcasting.
It's got a collection of lots of different things.
Yeah,
like this category a lot.
Bookmarking, personal learning networks, music and podcast, image editing, all kinds of different things in the tools category.
Yep.
Then we wrap it up with a website category track.
Yep, and that's kind of loosely called web because the web encompasses a lot of things. We're including smartphones in here, social media, better websites, final web is in here, church intranets, streaming, live streaming, all that kind of stuff. And then many of these are offered twice. So the reason that we did that, you know, on 2 days, so one's on Friday, one's on Saturday, so that you can really craft a schedule that makes sense for you. So if there's two that are kind of offered at the same time, it's likely that you could do one on one day and one on the second day. So an opportunity to get just a real nice mix of topics that are of interest to you.
And that's the main conference schedule, but we have a pre-conference day set up for during the day on Thursday where we're going to be offering half day, so 3.5 hours-ish sessions, very focused, hands-on sessions. And we've got Getting Your Inbox to Zero, we've got Building Sites with WordPress, a full day of final web training, a full day of Google Apps training, and then some smart board and logo software training as well. And I think these are maybe the biggest bargain of the whole deal because you can get a half day session for $29. So come early, folks, and get your seat at one of these half day or full day sessions. Mix and match your schedule and add to the value of the conference with some hands on workshops.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into the venue itself, Sally. The venue is really kind of a neat place. It's a place not too far from the Center for Mission and Ministry. It's in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, right off of the interstate there. But they have a water park, and the rooms are great. You have the ability to interact with people. The conference center's right there, so you can just walk right down the hall. Kids can go to the water park. Yeah, we're even planning an event where you can come out and tour the Center for Mission and Ministry out in Waukesha, just down the road, and maybe have a little bit of breakfast there on Saturday morning. So just looking forward to having people in the area, and it's a great place to come for a couple days.
Definitely bring the family along and let them enjoy that water park. The pricing is great. The hotel, water park hotel, for $104 a night, plus your taxes and things, and that includes admission to the water park. So definitely a great way to have an affordable vacation for the family while you're taking in a lot of great tech stuff along the way.
Great. So, again, the website, wells.net/wellstechconf, if you're interested in going to the conference. We have so many things going on for those 2 or 3 days that there's got to be something for everybody. So hopefully you can carve that out of your schedule. Start now talking to your congregation or your school and trying to maybe get some help funding for it if you can't swing it yourself. And hopefully you can... There will be little doubt that you'll come back with valuable information that you can implement in your congregation or your school's ministry. So take advantage. Is there anything else about conference stuff, Sally? Did I miss anything?
Well, you know, I guess we can make mention that it's our hope to bring more of these interviews with that great panel, 50-plus speakers that are going to be involved with the conference. So just stay tuned to Wells Tech over the coming months. We hope to give you more and more ideas of what the sessions are going to be like and just exactly why you need to come and join us there.
Awesome. Let's move right along then, Sally. We've got a section that we normally do here called Ministry Resources, and you came up with something you'd love to share.
I did, Martin. I had the pleasure of going out and meeting with some folks at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in North Mankato last week, and they asked me to come and speak to their parents group, and I did a presentation called Parenting in the Digital Age. So I'm going to throw a link in the show notes to the presentation resources that I shared. I think many of you will find them very helpful, and I started off my presentation kind of with this true confession thing, that when I contemplated the topic, I kind of felt a lot of guilt, like maybe I hadn't been the best parent in the digital age, and I think many of us feel like maybe the screen time's just a little too much or whatever it may be, and so I just wanted folks to know it's okay and they're forgiven if they feel that way, and give them some resources to begin to have a conversation with their children about what's acceptable. So there's links here to the Ford in Christ magazine new heart-to-heart parent conversations area, where they've got some really great articles on the topic. And then a couple of resource sites, Common Sense Media, NetSmarts, and Cyberbullying Research Center. And all of these have excellent resources. You can dig into their sites. You can find online reviews of thousands of movies and video games and things like that on the Common Sense Media site. On the NetSmart site, they have some really great internet pledges and tip sheets. And then on the Cyberbullying Research site, they have kind of contracts that you can download. And I really like that idea because... sorry, my phone is buzzing. The contract thing showed that this tech relationship that you have is something you have expectations of your children, but then they can have expectations of you as parents as well. And you kind of talk through both sides of that, you know, and they have some really good guidelines. So maybe you don't want to use these verbatim as they are on these websites, but they might be good things to begin some conversations with your children around their tech responsibilities. And then I ended my presentation with a lot of really cool ideas for having fun with tech together. One of the things I wanted the parents to consider was the fact that we often, you know, invest in our children in terms of maybe reading with them or playing sports with them or encouraging them in things they're involved in, and it's a good idea to also invest in their online interactions and help them to learn and be smart digital citizens with discerning hearts. You know, model for them great uses of tech. Help them use their creativity to learn to code or to make cool contraptions. My son's building a quad rotor right now. I think we talked about that. But, you know, just take that time to engage with them on that level, because these are tools that are going to be part of their lives. It's not going away. It's not something you need to necessarily ban them from, but more engage with them and experience it with them and help them to learn how to do it right. And so hopefully I gave them some positive to what I delivered in my presentation as well. And all those links, like I said, are available on the website, and I'll definitely share a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, the whole concept is really a must have in any kind of curriculum for school or church, especially PTA kinds of things. But I think in general, even churches without schools, this would be an interesting Bible study topic. And I've looked at a lot of those resources and I've used those. And I'm thinking that a lot of the listeners and viewers of Wells Tech probably have enough experience and enough savvy to take those resources and craft, you know, a presentation that would be worth coming to. So I don't think that maybe you don't know enough. I think that just being somebody that's in technology understands the good and the bad and has the ability to kind of call out from these materials a good, solid presentation. So if your church or school hasn't had one of these, here's a great opportunity to grab, you know, some of these materials that Sally's presented there, and then go for it. And do it every so often, because you get a new crop of parents, you know, new parents just trying to figure this stuff out. I think this is a great topic.
Yeah, it was definitely well received, and it wasn't just me talking. The parents were very engaged with me and sharing ideas, asking questions that I didn't have answers to, but that other parents did, you know. Yeah. So it's more about starting the conversation, and again, just kind of... Yeah. You know, there's no right or wrong answers to all this, and everybody's runs their families and their households different ways. Here's some tools that you can work with, but do have the conversation. Don't leave them wondering, how's mom and dad going to react to, you know, this bad thing I've done online. Make them know that they can talk to you about whatever problems they're experiencing, and you're not going to fly off the handle or whatever, that you know it's, you know, a challenging truck to navigate, and you're willing to be there for them. So,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a news and tech segment coming up, and this is kind of exciting for me. I'm a smartphone user, and I've used a lot of different ones. I'm using an iPhone at this point, and one of the things that was kind of frustrating with the iPhone is the email app, because I use the Synod's email system, which is Exchange-based, so it's Microsoft-based. But then I also use Gmail, and I use a couple other accounts, and it's really hard to keep them straight, and I find that the built-in apps that I've tried, both on iOS and Android, just aren't very good. So I was really excited to hear that Microsoft had actually released Outlook in app format. And a lot of people kind of say, well, I don't like Outlook because of this and that. I find that Outlook is a great productivity tool because it does the big three or sometimes four. It obviously does email really well. It does calendaring, and it maintains my contacts. And if you throw tasks in there, then you've really got something. But I downloaded this the other day, Sally, and Microsoft has done a really good job with this app. It's very easy to use. You can do scheduling, meaning if you don't want to see an email or you're not ready to deal with it, you can, you know, swipe it to the, I think you swipe it to the right and say, when do you want to see this again? A day, a week, tomorrow, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can bring it back into your inbox. You can archive. You can delete with swipes. You can multi-delete. It has something called a focused inbox, so it tries to predict what those emails are that are important to you, those people that you interact with on a regular basis, and it's going to bring those to the front and put the others in a separate tab, but it's also easy to get to that tab and train it. So I think Microsoft has done a nice job. Have you downloaded it yet?
I downloaded about 5 minutes before we started, really super to get my account added.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just playing with it as you talk, and I see my focus tab and my other tab, and I swipe to the right, and there's that schedule option, so you're totally on track with your description. I'm liking it.
Yeah, it's a nice implementation, and the design is nice and fluid. It's fast, and It also will allow you to add multiple accounts to it, so you aren't just stuck with your Exchange account or your Microsoft account. You can add Gmail and all the other ones, and they all come into one inbox. Now iOS does that on their app already, but this mimics that, and it's really a good way to kind of work through email rather than having to go to, well, I'm going to go to Outlook here, and I'm going to go to Gmail here, and I'm going to go to Outlook.com here. You got to go to, you know, three different places to see different email accounts. This brings it all together. So they do a nice job. Notifications is nice on this as well. You can fine tune that. Say, this is how I want to be notified, etc. So good stuff.
Nice to have the tie to the Outlook calendar too. Yeah. Since I use that for work often, that'll be good to have at my fingertips. So very good.
So it's a freebie. It's coming out. It's in preview mode or beta on Android, but it's a full-blown app. And they say they're going to update releases every 2 weeks or so. So they're really going to work at trying to make this the best it can be. So that's our news in tech.
Excellent.
Sally, I bet you have
my
a pick.
My turn again. I do. I have a pick, and this kind of harkens back to the fact that a few weeks ago I was teaching Final Web class online, and I oftentimes when I present or teach something, I'll put have a whiteboard there or some kind of marker board to write down questions and things that I don't have the answer to, and I didn't have that with my online presentation easily available to me, so I pulled out Google's Keep tool. And Keep is a tool that you can use, just real simple interface for making list of things like don't forget the milk or whatever you're trying to remember. Don't forget to post a link, whatever it is that you're trying to remember. You can just type it in there and click done, and it's going to show up in your Keep. You can go back in and edit it. You can check off things, that kind of thing. You can make checklists easily as well. So maybe it's your grocery list that you're looking for. You could easily just add a few items to that and give it a title of groceries or whatever you want to title it, and off you go. So I did this during class and saved my list for each day as I was making different checklists, and then we would circle back and look at the things that we had talked about the day before and check them off as we discussed them, as I found answers or provided resources to them or whatever it was. And it was a really nice interface to be able to just share that tab as I was presenting in a Google Hangout and have it come up on the screen and make it kind of a readable size font and things like that. There's also a very simple interface to the mobile app for Google Keep, and it's obviously available on Android and iOS, and you can do similar things with that. So it's really easy to interact with, and maybe not so overwhelming as some list makers might be or whatever. It's stored in the cloud, so you can access it from anywhere, obviously, and just seems like a good tool to kind of add to your tool belt. For me, it was a very specific use when I was doing online training. Gave me kind of a blank slate to be able to write notes in and share that view, and so it worked well for that purpose, and I might be using it for some other purposes as well. So that's my pick. It's at keep.google.com. Do you use Google Keep at all, Martin?
I've tried it. I use OneNote, so that's really kind of my go-to note-taking app, and that seems to work well for me. Note-taking apps are those that you don't want to change real often, because boy, is it a pain to move from one to the other. So I've really stuck. Mm-hmm. I was with Evernote, and I toyed around with Keep, but it didn't have all the features I needed. And then, but it sounds like your application is just perfect for it. So
definitely, clean interface and very straightforward, easy to read and stuff. So it was a good way to share in an online learning environment.
Especially if you're in that Google ecosystem already, too. I did not realize it was available for iOS. I did not know that. So cool.
Yep.
All right, my pick of the week. And Sally, for a couple weeks now, we've been a little bit down on Digo.
My
I at least have been a little down on Digo. And I've been looking for replacements. I tried a few things and have finally found one that I really like, and I'm going to invest in. And that's called Pinboard. That pinboard.in, it's been around a while, and its claim to fame is that it's dead simple, and it's really fast. So it works just like Digo does. You have in Chrome here, you have a little extension that you can add, and when you come across a website that you want to bookmark, you'd hit the pin and it throws it in your pin board. This is not Pinterest, by the way, Sally, just to be clear.
I like the
fact
like
it has no connection with Pinterest. This is pin board. In fact, it's very different in that regard. And it's made by a developer who just said, I'm going to keep this as clean and as simple and as fast as I possibly can. That's what he's done. You can look at my screen here, and there's nothing but text here. So here's my bookmarks on the left and my tags on the right. It's all tag-based, which is a really good benefit. You can have public and private links or bookmarks or pins, if you want to call it that. You can sort by unread or untagged, or you can star those that you really want to get at right away. You can connect it with your Twitter account, Instapaper, Pocket account, so that when you tag something here, it'll go into the Pocket account, etc. There are mobile apps that are built around it. It is a mobile-friendly application as well. But it really provides a quick and easy way to just bookmark something and then come back to it real quick. I can click on any of these little categories that I've got here at top in my favorites bar, which simply goes to a link in my pin board. And I'm also using this to share links with. That was one of the big things, Sally, with Digo, is that you could create these lists.
Right.
Well, you can kind of do the same thing with tags. And they take it one step further. So you can tag a bunch of links, but maybe you want to create little categories of tags. So you can do that too. Just create a different tag for each one. And then you can bundle tags together in what they call bundles. And then when you publish a bundle, people will see all the different bookmarks and all the different tag categories within that bundle. So it kind of acts exactly like a Digo list, yet it's a lot simpler to use. You don't have all the cruft that goes along with a full-blown program like Digo. Here it's just text. You can edit a link, delete a link, you can add a description for somebody to read. The one thing it doesn't have, and I don't know that I use this a lot anyway, in Digo, was the ability to annotate a page. See, there's no annotation, it's really just link, description, and tagging is really the process here. And then that's it. It's really simple. You can get back to it. You can search your tags, you can search your links, or your pins, as they call them, and just a real solid tool. Now, it isn't free. It's $11 a year, but this is probably $11 that at the end of the year I'll feel are pretty well spent. So it's less than $1 a month to be able to store all my tags in here. You can import your tags from Digo or Delicious or some of the other bookmarking apps, RSS readers, right into Pinboard, and away you go. So it's I've been using it for a week or so now, and I would highly recommend it. I converted everything over. I don't use Digo at all anymore. This is what I use. So, and totally portable. So that's the deal.
I think you answered most of my questions. When you make those bundles, can you control what order the links are in the bundles? So
you can't. No, that's one of the things.
Just the order you added them in.
Yeah, but you can click on a tag which will just show those. You can also sort by date added or by title. So you could put some kind of naming convention in there that would order them the way you want it. But again, he's not throwing a lot of features at it. He's just trying to make it as simple as possible. So
pinboard.in
if you're interested.
Okay. And it'll just make you think about Pinterest, at least, since you're using something with pin in it.
The logo's red.
There you go. See? All kinds of parallels here.
Last time I checked Pinterest, they had red, right?
Yeah, that's right. You must go there often, Martin.
Enough to know what the color is. Yeah. Actually, I look over at Debbie's little iPad or whatever. I see it on there, and that's as close as I get these days. She actually, I haven't looked while I've been gone here, and she shared a couple pins with me from Pinterest, which I'm really excited. I haven't gone and looked at them yet, but I'm really excited to go look just to make sure I can still log in. But I'm wondering why she's sharing pins with me at this point. But let's go to Wells Insider.
She knows how much you love them. Wells Insider this week, we want to feature our radio stream. So you guys may or may not know, you can listen to the radio courtesy of Wells, and you can do that easily from your computer, but also from that wonderful Wells mobile app. So we have channels for children, contemporary music, instrumental music, and traditional music, and you can go to the Streams Media radio channel and check all that out. You just turn on the player and let it play in the background and enjoy some beautiful Christian music done by Wells artist.
Yep. The service that we use has redone the whole app. It's a nice graphical interface now, and will play whether you have the phone screen on or off. You can use it in a lot of different ways. So,
excellent.
Good music there. I want to make sure everybody is aware that the Interactive Faith Bible Online Bible Study Series is still going on. They're doing the Book of Judges, Pastor David Scharf from Greenville, Wisconsin. I think it's Greenville, Wisconsin, is doing the study. He's doing a tremendous job. It's at 6 and 8. That those are Central Time. If you go to wells.net/interactivefaith, I think we'll get you there. If not, take a look at the show notes and we'll have a link there. But I think he's got one or two more weeks left, but it's not too late to take advantage of that, either in a group or as an individual. So
you mentioned 6 and 8 p.m., Martin. That's on Wednesdays, 6 and 8 Wednesday. On Wednesdays. So there'll be one this week and next week to come. So two more to come. Yes.
Great. Sally, we've got a ton of community feedback this week.
We do. Let me just get to the right place in my mind map. Got to get all this coordinated here. And I'll make mention, first of all, that over on our Facebook page, we heard from Liz, I want to say it was Schreiner Canets. Liz wrote to us asking about e-giving options. She was looking at what options were out there. And lucky for us, we have a WellsTech Wiki. Just happens that I didn't open up that page yet on my computer. But we have a WellsTech Wiki page dedicated to electronic giving, and lots of different vendors listed there that do electronic giving with churches in mind, different people that have expressed that they use different vendors and shared their experiences. There's information about text to give, about mobile giving, automatic deductions, and credit card giving. And we even saw examples of credit card giving, like in a church narthex, where there was a machine that you could slide your card through right there in the church narthex and fill out a card about your electronic giving. So lots of different ways that you can include electronic giving for your congregation. So check out that WellsTech Wiki page. We'll have a note, a link in the show notes.
Yep, we did a show on it, and that's a very oft-asked question, and it's good to kind of bring it up once in a while, because that really is something that our churches need to, many of them want to think about, but all of them should be thinking about, because I think members are appreciative, and especially if you can get members on a kind of a regular giving pattern, then vacations or snowstorms or whatever don't get in the way of their opportunity to worship their Lord through their gifts.
Right. We also heard from Pastor Dan Witte, your brother-in-law down there at Risen Savior in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, and he shared a link to Logos 6 Core Engine. So Logos has come out with a new version of their software, and interestingly, as of today, the Core Engine of the Logos 6 software is available for free from their website. Now, it says on the website something about it being free today, and it doesn't mention that it continues after today, so I don't know if it's just a one-day thing, but I'm thinking maybe it's free from now on, because this core package is just basically the empty software. So the interface of the software and that kind of thing, but no books included whatsoever. You'd have to have your own Logos library or buy books to use within the core system. And there's a page on their website dedicated to ways to move to Logos 6. So this is if you already have it. You can upgrade and grow your library. They call it cross-grading to kind of bring it up to the Logos 6 and include some of the new software features that are part of Logos 6. They also have here, you know, that you can just update and get the Logos 6 look and feel, but you won't necessarily get all the data sheets that make Logos 6 truly shine. So free core engine and update your software, but most of the new bells and whistles shown in their promotional videos and things like that require new data sheets to work. So lots of different levels of upgrade, but as of today, this Logos 6 core engine, that initial level of upgrade or initial level of software if you don't have the software already, is available for free. So we'll have that link in the show notes to the Logos 6 core engine.
And just a side note, Logos is one of our premier sponsors for the WildsTech conference coming up this summer. So they're going to be sponsoring the mixer, I believe, on Thursday night, and doing a discount to showgoers as well. On now they can't discount $0, but they're going to be discounting some of the products that go along with that. That makes Logos what it is. So another reason to attend the show or the conference.
All right, moving on, I had an email from Kathy Arnold, and she said at her church in Appleton, Wisconsin, they had used Skype for some distance Bible classes and things like that. She also participated in my final web class, which we did totally online through Google Hangouts. And so she was kind of curious, what's the difference between Skype and Google Hangouts? And maybe one is better than the other or whatever. And, you know, honestly, I don't have that kind of insight to say one is better than the other. I think they're very comparable voice over IP tools with video conferencing available in both. The one thing I thought of was that Hangouts on Air, at least, will allow you to record the video. I think there's probably some Skype plugins that might allow you to record video calls as well. But with Hangouts on Air, you definitely can do that, and it writes to your Google account. Anyway, I found this article on Android Pit website, and it's Hangouts versus Skype. Do we have a new VoIP champion? So they kind of talk through different things, video quality, sound quality. I think they said Hangouts had better sound quality. That was one area where they definitely favored Hangouts. Video quality, it seemed like both of them kind of need to settle down a little bit. Like they start out not the greatest, but they've got some side-by-side comparisons. You can kind of draw your own conclusions. But they definitely had some favorable things to say about Hangouts, and the comments on the page as well talk a lot about Hangouts being favored. So, you know, if you've been doing it with Skype for a while and it's working for you, I can't imagine a reason to just jump ship, but maybe if you're just getting started, you might want to try out both tools and see which ones work for you best. Connectivity for us, Martin, with Google Hangouts, really, considering the amount of stuff that we've done with it, has been very stable. So, you know, that's a definite plus in my book, is that I feel like I can count on Hangouts, that I do have good experience with it and stuff. I just don't have that insight on the Skype side of things. Maybe you do. Do you do Skype at all?
Well, when we started, Sally, you may remember we used Skype for this show.
Right.
We always used mm-hmm. Google Hangouts. So I don't know that we ever used the video
that
portion.
That wasn't for video. Stuff. Yeah.
Right. Right, that was the audio. But the one knock I have against Google Hangouts is it's not easy to get people onto the platform. I mean, they've got to have the Google account. They have to have the right window open. It's a little confusing. Skype is like making a phone call. So there's, I think, that barrier there sometimes for Google Hangouts. If they've got that figured out, great. And who knows where – I think Skype has got some – big things in store for it. Since Microsoft has purchased it, they haven't done much with it, but they've got another product, Link, that we use also here at the Senate office, that there may be some integration coming, and that's a really solid product as well. So we'll see what Microsoft decides to do with Skype, but It's great that people from around the world can communicate basically for free with some of these tools. That's another thing Skype has, I just thought of, that Google Hangouts will get. But Skype has recently launched this translation, real-time translation engine, so you could talk to people who don't speak the same language, and they could communicate almost in real time through through the tool in Skype. So,
amazing technology.
Yeah, it's cool. Definitely. It's really cool.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing, Kathy.
Yeah. Next up, just a Digo link provided by Jason Winjet. And let's see if I can share my screen. Little technology challenge here. This is an article Jason came across from Vimeo, where they were announcing that they've incorporated a new tool, Amera, into the video processing with Vimeo. And Amera is good for captioning your videos. So I think you can use the tool to type out your own captioning, or you can pay a price and it'll caption for you. So two different ways to use it, but making your videos a lot more accessible to the hearing impaired, obviously, with the captioning that can be added. So
I believe it was John Shoesmith many years ago was excited about that and did some studies where once they started captioning, their viewership went up, which is something to consider. So if you're looking to increase the audience of your videos, this might be a good way to go.
Excellent. Look at this, Martin. We have a pin to share on the Wealth Tech Podcast.
Oh,
we have
it
a Pinterest
is red.
Board.
Yeah.
And there red. It is. And I'm not sure who pinned this. Maybe me. But anyway, I found an article called The Top 10 Copyright Free.
So here's a question.
Free image sources.
Have we
yes,
had
sir.
Pins from anybody but you?
I'm sure we have. I just can almost guarantee it. You guys go out there and pin something. Debbie Spriggs, pin something, please. Anyway, it's a wonderful way to share, and I'm sure that lots of people follow our Pinterest board and just can't wait for Wealth Tech to pin things.
Anyway, what did you pin? I'm sorry to interrupt you. That was
yeah, you sidetracked me. Top 10 copyright-free free image sources. So you can check out our pin, and it'll take you to an article where they listed some image sources I wasn't familiar with. So Pixabay's on here, freeimage.com, Flickr, Creative Commons, Microsoft Office went, and I think we talked about this on a show, put
right,
all their clip art and art right. Online. But then there's some others, this one called Unsplash. They list Wikimedia Commons using Google search and morg file we've talked about. Here's one. Free range stock, and it says you sign up and you get email from them once a month. And then Free Pick has some neat vector graphics. So, yeah, always nice to add to the arsenal of different free image locations. So, yay for me for pinning that.
Yeah,
aren't you glad?
Right. Yes, thank you. Sure would
All right.
not be complete. We got one more, don't we?
We have a couple that I just wanted to mention, free ebooks. We follow a lot of different church technology blogs and things, one of which is Church Tech Today. Lauren Hunter has been on the show before, and she recommended this From Pews to Podcast ebook that's available for free download. So, What Does Technology Want for the Church? From Pews to Podcast shows you how technology has shaped the church throughout history and how it continues to shape the church today. Might be an interesting read. The price is right. One other, this was a recommendation from Christian Media Magazine. It's an ebook called Blueprint to Social Media for Churches. So, looking at outreach goals and what social media platforms are best suited to meet your church's needs. Definitely topics we've talked about before on the podcast, but again, always nice to have some new reading material, maybe a different perspective, and since they're free ebooks, it might be worth the download. That's Very what I got nice. For community feedback, Martin.
If you would like to contribute your own pin, or Digo,
I'm sure they would,
or Facebook, or tweet. We have all those options available. Just go to our show notes page, Look at the top right. You can send us a good old-fashioned email, leave a voicemail, or go right on the page and leave a comment on one of the shows, and we will share it on the next show or the next one that we're doing community feedback on, which is almost at the show at this point. So lots of opportunities for you to contribute, and that's really what makes the show. I love it when we get this much community feedback and can learn stuff, because there's so much out there, and we can't possibly keep our thumb on all that for you guys. So help us do that.
Definitely. We're going to do a show next week, Martin, at a special date and time.
And what date and time is that?
That Monday. Date and time, Monday, February 9th.
Monday, 11 a.m. Central Time.
February. That's right.
And what are we talking about?
We are talking about What's Best Next. That's our book of the season. It's written by Matt Perman. It's a productivity book with a gospel twist, and I've really enjoyed the read. Matt has a system for us to be productive, and it uses the DARE acronym, D-A-R-E, and we're up to the R, which stands for reduce. It says free up your time for what's most important. So I'm going to be reducing, Martin. Maybe I'll be pushing some tasks your direction. What do you think?
Well,
that made him laugh.
Possible.
I can't imagine.
You can try that.
I can try, huh?
What's our featured video this week?
This week we actually have a couple of videos we added to our product demos playlist over on YouTube, and they both center around that Outlook announcement for your mobile device. So an Outlook walkthrough for iOS, as well as an overview of Office, the complete Office package for Android. So short little videos that will give you a taste of what's available and maybe motivate you to go try it out.
All right. We thank our live viewers and listeners this week. If you ever want to tune in, and as Sally mentioned, we're going to do it Monday at 11 Central next week, but normally we're Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central. You can tune in at Wells Tech, what is it, wellstechlive.wells.net.
That's it.
It gets you to the right spot where you can join the hangout and watch the fun and even contribute with a question of your own or comment of your own. We'd love for you to do that. So if that works into your schedule, that's great. If not, download it, you know, with your whatever tool of choice that you have. Wherever popular podcasts are sold, that's where we are. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. God's blessings. Bye.